Let's give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise, everybody. Come on, if you're glad your name is written down. We're making progress this week. We're about almost halfway. We about got half participation. We about got everybody glad you're saved. Why don't you lift your hands and tell the devil, devil, you used to have me, but now I'm on God's side. And I'm going to give him praise. I gave you all the praise before, but now I'm on a different side, and I got to praise the captain of my salvation. Come on, young man. Come on, young lady. Come on, you camp worker. Somebody ought to praise him. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Turn around and tell three people. Some folks are getting nervous. Tell three of them, somebody's getting nervous. Oh, the temperature is rising. Now look at somebody and tell them, if you can't take the heat. Come on, turn to three people and tell them, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. Come on, look at somebody and say, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. This ain't a dead church. It ain't a quiet church. It ain't a worldly church. It's not a carnal church. It's a Book of Acts church. It's a red hot church. We're not going to be lukewarm or cold. We're going to be hot. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, it's time you heat up. Come on, look at three people and tell them, you better heat up. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. This is not the first church of Frigidaire. Hello, is the PA on out there? Amen. I said it's not the first church of the Frigidaire. I don't want quiet church. I don't want laid back church. Don't want lethargic church. Don't want complacent church. Don't want lukewarm church. We want a hot church. It's 1997, and we can't have anything less than a red hot church. If you want a cold church, go somewhere else. But this is going to be a hot church. Woo! Come on, somebody praise him. Some young man that really wants to be a man, you ought to praise him. Getting hot. You may not want to shout, but you're going to be uncomfortable because we're going to try to get this thing in one accord. You don't want to shout, just sit there. But you are going to be out of place. Woo! If you don't want to live holy, be worldly, but you will be out of place. Somebody shout yes. If you're glad you repented and God forgave you, shout yes. Glad you went down in Jesus' name and he washed all your sins away, shout yes. If you're glad that your sins were scarlet but now they're white as snow, shout yes. If you're glad your body has become the holy of holies, shout yes. If you're glad you're on your way to heaven, shout yes, 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 yes. I'm a stranger. I'm just passing through. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, don't get in my way tonight. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach just a few minutes. Genesis chapter 1. I got to read a text or we'll get kicked out. Got to stay with tradition, praise God. Read a text. Amen, it's an honor to be here. Don't calm down. I'm going to quit quick. Amen. I hope. Amen. I don't know when we're ever going to realize and admit that revival does not come in a quiet, passive, calm, cool church. It does not happen. Amen. It just doesn't happen. And I would to God that you young people go home and give your church a heart attack. I mean, just rock them. It may be better than a 5-pound sledgehammer, but you don't have to feel nothing anyhow. Just walk in and say, hey, pastor, my name's written down. Would you pardon me? I feel like praising it. Woo! Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter number 1. Would you follow quick with me? I preached a long time last night. Unless the Holy Ghost pushes me, I won't be as long. Amen. How many of you are already sweating? How many of you feel if I'm already sweating, I might as well just get wet? Just soak it out. I wish we had some pretty girls walk out of here, your curls all glued up. I wish we had some of you boys with your fancy tie on. We had to cut it off because you couldn't untie it. Woo! Somebody go get the scissors. I think we're going to have to cut some ties off. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Genesis 1. Amen. Had fun today. Went and rode the dumb four-wheeler. He got stuck up 100-foot mountain. 10 feet from the top, my helmet come down over my eyes. I couldn't see nothing. I'm sitting straight up. I ain't breathing. I'm still upset because I didn't conquer that mountain. Bishop said, I know you won't come back next year so you can conquer the mountain. I said, wrong. I ain't ever going back. Hallelujah. We had fun. But I don't mind telling you, I'm glad to be among the living tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be a light. There was light. God saw the light, that it was good. And God called the light, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. The evening and the morning were the first day. I want you to notice some phrases here. In verse number 4, it says, and it was good. I want you to look down at verse number 10 in the third day. When God had made dry land appear, He gathered together the waters and called them seas. God saw that it was good. Look at verse number 18. God had made greater lights and lesser lights, one for the day, one for the night. And in verse 18, God saw that it was good. God divided light from darkness, and God saw that it was good. Everybody say, God divided. And then look at verse 21. God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Everybody say, it was good. Verse 25. And God made the beasts of the earth and after his kind, and cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Everybody say, it was good. It was good. Amen. Glad to have the man here that married my wife and I, Brother Larson. He's a friend of ours, and he saved our wedding. Thank you, Bishop. Amen. Man, at our wedding, the candles caught on fire and roses fell off, and it was disastrous except for that kiss. Amen. That was good. But other than that, amen. If it hadn't been for the bishop, it would have been a total waste. Amen. He saved the day. Appreciate Brother Larson, friend of ours. Amen. I want you to notice on the second day, God said, verse number 6, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament. And it was so. called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. I want to preach on an atmosphere conducive for a deliverance. Atmosphere that is conducive for deliverance. Lord, thank you for this great group of young people and staff that is here making this camp a success. We ask in the next few moments, God, that that heart that needs a great deliverance would come bolting from their seat. They would come not willing to accept what has been dealt them in life, but they would come out of their seat and say, I do not have to accept things the way they are, but I take it upon my own choice and my own will to change what has been dealt to me. Let it happen in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. I don't have time to preach everything that could be preached from this very familiar passage of Scripture. But let me say to you young people and everyone that is here that in this end time, 1997, 2 years and just a few months away from the year 2000, when there is much concern about the fact that maybe the end of the world, or perhaps even prophetic teachers are saying that it could be the rapture. Let me remind you and alert you to the fact that in the midst of a great revival that God is giving us, not just in Ethiopia, but in churches that are obscure and out of the way and off of the map and don't have all of the big time history, God is moving into these churches where people are hungry and are serving God in the truth of the message of God and the holiness that God is giving them revival. Not just one here and three there, but in tens and twenties and sixties and eighties and hundreds and thousands. That while this is going on, that the devil is quickly trying to move in and pervert every truth of God, every doctrine that we preach in this end time. The devil has always brought a counterfeit with the real. Anything that God has ever done, the devil matched it with a counterfeit. Amen. It is that way in this end time. In the midst of a great revival, there is a counterfeit that is moving. It looks like, feels like, smells like, and sounds like the real thing. And the reason that you can really notice the difference is the doctrine that is preached bears out which one is true and which one is not. I want to say to you young people that we don't have time to preach everything in this camp. But I want you to be assured of the fact that your pastor's preaching one God in Acts 2:38. Water, spirit, baptism, holiness, coming out from the world and being separate. These are not man-made ideas. These are not concepts concocted by an educated mind. But we can find every doctrine that we preach in this end time. We can find it in the Word of God. I want you to understand that you will be challenged about what you believe. Amen. The denominational world has some articles. I didn't bring them tonight. But they are saying we will put down our long arm of doctrinal indifference. And we will come together. And we will call each other brother. And we will accept each other for what they are. I want to tell you that it is a fulfillment of the Word of God in Revelation. Whenever we read of not 100 churches, but we read of only 2 churches. One is a whore and one is a virgin. Not 500 churches. There isn't but 2 churches in the end time. One is the harlot church and one is the bride of Christ. And while I'm there, I might as well tell you how you know which is which. Whenever John sees this harlot church, he describes her by her outward appearance. And he says that she is bedecked in jewels and fine array. But when it speaks of the church, it only says she's arrayed in fine linen. It's getting quiet already. And then I know how you look in everything. I already told you, you can put a tuxedo on a pig, but he's still a pig. But I'm going to tell you, that doesn't mean that how you look doesn't matter. It does matter how you look. I want to say to you tonight, again, that every doctrine that your pastor preaches is not a message that was just preached in bygone years. But we can look in the book of beginnings. And young people, I want you to know tonight that you can have confidence that the apostolic message that we preach, which includes the oneness, the new birth, and holiness. Amen. Got three amens and a bunch of Baptist nods. I want you to know that you can find them in the book of beginnings. Whenever we see God putting together His holy word, we do not find three gods or five gods. But in the very first verse, we find out in the beginning, God. I want to reaffirm it to you young people. Buddha is not God. Muhammad is not God. Confucius is not God. There is no such thing as the divine Holy Trinity. That is a theory, not a doctrine. There is only one God, and His name is Jesus Christ. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Understand it, young people, that the Word of God never says there are three. But we hear God say Himself through the prophet Isaiah, I am the Lord. Not we. I am the Lord. And beside me, there, beside me. Beside me. Not beside us. Beside me, there is no other. I create light. I, not we, create darkness. I. He said, I spread the heavens alone by myself. I want to affirm it to you, young people. The oneness of God is right. In the beginning, God. There was only one God, and there was only room for one. Now, why is that important? I'll tell you why. Because this perverted spirit that moves parallel to the Holy Spirit wants you to believe that what is preached and believed does not matter. It wants you to believe that some things, now this is not a biblical term I'm about to use, this is a man-made term. You won't even find the concept in the Bible. But we, some places, not we, I don't. Some folks use the term, these things, some things are not salvation issues. Young people, listen to me. You will not find one concept, not one shadow or shred of evidence where God ever asked His people, Old or New Testament, to do something and say, I would really like for you to do this. It would really please me if you would be baptized in the name of Jesus. I mean, it would really make me happy. But if you don't, my mercy and grace will overlook it. And we'll just call it even. Or I would really like you to come out of the world and be separate. But if for some reason you find that too restrictive and too hard, I mean, it would make me happy if you would, but I won't hold it against you. If God asks you to do it, He means He wants you to do it. If the Word of God says be baptized in the name of Jesus, that don't mean you can go down in the name of Peter, James, and John, or the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. If you're going to get on a robe of baptismal and you're going to get in the water, you might as well do it like God said. Do it in the name of Jesus Christ, or don't do it at all. Everybody stay with me. There is no such thing as a term or a concept that says some things matter for me to be saved and some things don't matter. It's not in the Bible. Now that's a term we've concocted. And when you concoct a term like that, it's a principle. You try to make a principle out of it. And for it to be a biblical principle, you have to run it out and apply it to every situation. And if it doesn't work in every situation, then it's incorrect. Once you start believing that some things matter and some things don't matter, then you begin to reason, well, what's the difference in? And what does it really matter anyhow? I mean, and so it starts out with simple things like, well, does it really matter? I've heard people say things like this. Well, do I have to shout to be saved? Now, it's really hard for the son of an Air Force man and a son of a retired Sears and Roebuck washer and dryer salesman to understand. Well, I'm just glad to be saved. I mean, I remember standing at the foot of my mom and dad's bed and screaming, what can God do with an athlete?
Come on, tell
me. And now here I am, plunking from nowhere, preaching this camp. And somebody wants me to believe that you need to calm down, Brother Gall. You know, you don't have to do that, Sister Jones, to be saved. God, I mean, God doesn't require. And so then once you rule out, well, I don't have to go, wow. Then you rule out, I don't even have to go, thank you, Jesus. And then you rule out, I've heard people say, I've heard preachers get up and say, there's nowhere in the Bible that says you have to pray to be saved. Now, can you imagine trying to go to heaven and not pray? I'm not talking about Trinitarians. I'm talking about Clarkarian apostolic people saying you don't have to worship and you don't have to pray because it doesn't matter. I've come to this generation and say I don't believe it. It's a lie. There's no way nobody that prays or nobody that worships, doesn't worship, is going to make it in the holy rapture. I'm off my message, but I just threw that in. I mean, you know, for there to be real revival in your youth group and in our churches, there must first be a revival of joy about just being saved. That's right. Because you cannot preach to a whore or a pimp or a drug addict. And so I've been someplace and say to quote-unquote saved folks, quote-unquote, I'm wondering. Say to them, aren't you glad you got the Holy Ghost? And this is a response you get. Now, if it's just us saved deadheads, then just knock your head at one another. But if you got a sinner in the house, and you got this guy with his rubber band tied around his arm, running needles in and out of it, and you want him to believe that there's a God, and then you want him to believe that you got it from here to here, and you want him to believe you're going to a city made of solid gold, and all you can do is shake your head, they'll never believe it. It will not happen. For there to be a revival in our generation, there must be a first love that comes back to us that we're just glad to be saved. You can be seated. Doesn't make any sense at all. Pastor gets up there and says, I mean, I'm glad you've been baptized in Jesus' name and got quote unquote saved folks going. Sometimes I, Brother Larson, I just want to run out there and climb over pews and go, what's wrong with you? Do you not remember what happened to you? I've been in revival. Watched a Methodist deacon and a Baptist deacon and their wives. Hear the oneness of God preach. Watch revelation come. Eyes start bugging out. Come to the altar. 15 minutes later, flat in the back, talking in tongues, rolling all over the floor. Ain't been an apostolic role in that church for years. And a man that is deacon and a Baptist deacon comes in, gets the Holy Ghost and starts acting like a holy roller. Then leave the church, Brother Larson, and they get ready to baptize those people over again in the name of Jesus. And the pastor says, oh, somebody else will do it. Let's go eat, Doc. That's bad news. Oh, Jesus, have mercy. How many of you are glad you were baptized in the name of Jesus? Now you got to remember that means your sins were as scarlet. They were as bright red. And you went down in the water. And that preacher said, in the name of Jesus, come on. And all your sins are washed away. I'm going to try to get off of it. You can be seated. Let me just simply say this, that there's got to be among us who have been saved, whether it's 2 months, 5 minutes, or 52 years, there has got to be a joy that comes back to our church, not over some fancy message, not over some fancy beat on the organ, but just at the mere thought, my name is written down. Now let me just throw this out here. We're so crazy. We just don't want to offend nobody. And so we turn our... You get in the world and... You know, I go someplace and I say, Louisiana, we don't do it like that down here. I couldn't believe it. I like had a heart attack. I thought everybody in Louisiana run, shouted, rolled, and talked in tongues and got carried away. This Cajun man was just, Brother God went down, I know you, young man. And you don't understand, but us folk down here, Louisiana, we don't do it like that. The Cajun folk, we kind of reserve that, we hold our emotions in. We just don't do it like that. You go up to Minnesota, and Minnesota, they go get donuts and balls. And Minnesota, we don't do it like that up here. Go out east, and they park their cars by the curbs, and they don't go like that up there. And go to California, and the Beach Boys deal, and we got our way in California. Go to Alaska, and they got their way. And everybody said, "Well, up here we don't." And so, you know, evangelists, you go to get your computer out, and you know, concordance, and you go, Louisiana worship. Let's see now. California, see. California worship. Minnesota worship. And then Oklahoma's got their way. Trust me. Okay. Because only thing matters is it in the book. And so you go looking for Louisiana and California, or you look for an introverted way or a passive person's way. And you go to look and it ain't in there. They're in the passive way. They're in the Louisiana way or a California way. But there is a redeemed way. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Where did we ever get this idea? We're going to have revival in a sin-sick generation with a calm, cool, quiet, laid-back church. The church has never been calm, cool, and laid-back. It's always been wild and worship. There always has been the stigma of a bunch of holy rollers and a bunch of drunks. You can be seated. Not only can we find the message of the oneness of God, but we find, don't get nervous, we find the message of separation. For it was God that started to separate. God separated, divided light from dark. Doctrine of separation is found in the book of Genesis. We find God separating water and dry ground. It's in the Bible. We find the message of Calvary in Genesis. Whenever God takes a lamb and slays it, we see the message of the blood in the book of Genesis. Power, power. Wonder-working power in the blood. It wasn't the music, young people. The Lord dealt with me about a year and a half ago. Beginning to preach a few youth things and just being used to preaching church revivals, trying to switch gears. And I, you know, they say you got to be youthy. You got to be... Whatever that means. I don't know what that means. But you got to be youthy. You can't preach like you normally preach. You got to switch somehow. You know, you can't. Young people don't want to be preached to. And, you know, you can't just rear back and preach. And so we don't preach to them. We tell them those cowboy stories. And, you know, Indians and ghosts and goblins. And so we raise a generation that doesn't know anything about the doctor. And then it's really not your fault, young people, because mom and dad act like they know everything. And pastor goes up and tries to preach it and reaffirm it to you. And mom and dad start going. And you kind of... But young people, you need to get your feet grounded into the doctrine, into the Word of God. We look at creation. We find out the doctrine of creation. We do not see the doctrine or the theology or the theory of evolution. But we see a God creating, saying, let there be, boom, and there was. And that doesn't move apostolic folks. But I wish I could tell you about the sinners, dirty, nasty, smelly, stinky sinners that sit in congregations and you begin to preach about the fact of creation. It doesn't mean anything to the saved folks. But this sinner who has been told, I'm preaching about his vision, our mission. Amen. We've got to quit being so selfish tonight. And we've got to realize that the sinners are being told you're an accident. You were thrown away. You should have and could have been aborted because the government said it was okay. And you were born, but you really aren't human. You're really lucky that you are human. You could have evolved and you could have come out a cow or a camel or a giraffe or a beluga whale or a gray shark. You could have come out of pink on a dog's back. But it was just an accident that you evolved into a human being. I'm going to tell you it's a lie. You are not an accident. There is a God that created you in His own image. It's time we shout over creation. Wish I could tell you the times sinners jump out of their seat, run to an altar weeping and crying. And while they're running to an altar, some quote-unquote saved person is sitting back there going. Not going to preach your sinner out of sin by tickling him. Precious. God love him. Poor sinner boy. It is the doctrine, Paul said, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. I want you to also notice, and I'm making my message now, all my notes I should say. We find God in creative activity. I believe it was when Lucifer, the anointed cherub that covered God with praise. And the Bible says the angels cried, holy, holy, holy. Wasn't just noise and bebop. It was holy praise. I believe it was in that worship service, Brother Torres. God began to enthrone Himself. God realized His angels worshiped Him because they had to. God began to make an atmosphere, a place for people to live. I preached about it to you last night. That had a will to choose to do what they wanted to do. It was in the midst of holy, holy, holy God. Oh, I like that. Holy, holy, holy. You look in Ezekiel and you get a picture of heaven. And you see angels with two wings they did fly and two wings they covered their face and two wings they covered their feet. We see them in the firmament of God's presence. I believe it was then that God began to say, let there be light. And there was light, and light shined in darkness. Darkness didn't comprehend it. Couldn't figure out what happened. It was in the midst of that worship that God began to create. And it was then that Lucifer rose up and stepped out of his place of worship. Revelation 12 said that his place was never found again in heaven. God cut him down. God cast him out. And I said it last night and we'll say it again. For you to be a worshiper, it requires that you realize that God is greater than yourself. And because He's greater, it demands that you worship Him. It doesn't matter how good you can play ball. Now let me show you what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter how good you can play ball. I seen a couple of guys playing last night. There was one fella out there. He was smooth. I mean, he was untying people's shoes as he went by. He just didn't break stride. Just, now, he ain't going to get excited about any of our shots. And he's not going to go to the ball game either. But I'm just going to make this point. Michael Jordan was to walk over into this gym and he would start doing his deal. Calling shots, backboard. Board. He wouldn't get excited about us. But if he saw someone greater than himself, he'd stand over and go, "My God, that's Michael. Look at it." And he would worship him because he realized that he was greater than himself. You may be able to add and subtract and divide, and you may be able to hit a computer and make that thing do everything but talking tongues. But when it comes to God, it don't matter how many degrees you got. It don't matter how nice your clothes are. It don't matter how introverted or wild you are. He is greater than you, and you need to worship Him. Paul said God doesn't need to be worshipped with man's hands as though He needs anything. God doesn't need your worship, but you need Him. And to get Him, you've got to worship Him. Now I'm closing with this, the last 10 minutes of the Holy Ghost to help me. God didn't do anything. You can be seated. Just haphazardly. Just off the top of His head. God didn't just start saying, "Let there be fowls in the air. Let there be fish in the sea. And let there be plants and trees bringing forth fruit after their kind. Oh, let me see something. Let there be man." He did it with a purpose and an order. And that purpose and order was that before God ever made anything that was a living creature, He created a place for it to dwell and to live and to succeed. Before He made anything, He made light so it had time to go into it. And then He made this world, and it was covered with water. Two ingredients that every living thing needs. Is light and water. And then for there to be a place for trees to grow, the Bible said that He moved over the waters and He brought dry ground out of the waters. See, that got two all rights and a whole bunch of stairs. You missed it. It did not say He brought mud up and then blew it and drew it off, dried it off. The Bible said He reached into the water and brought dry ground out of it. And that doesn't mean anything to you. But I was preaching with Kenai, Alaska, Brother Stuart Churchill's church. And Brother Glover, district secretary, was on his way from Sterling. Stopped and picked up a man and a woman. The woman was obviously an Eskimo, Tlingit, Indian, I believe it was. Obviously, a little short and chubby cheeks and squinted eyes. Picked them up and asked them if they wanted to go to church. They got in. When they got in, the man smelled and reeked with alcohol. Had a little bottle in his pocket. Brought him into church and began to preach. And in the middle of the message, I just went to preaching one God. And all of a sudden, this man who had every few minutes been getting up and going out and taking a nip out of his bottle. Coming back in, sitting in the back, drunk, falling asleep. Head bobbing everywhere. Start preaching that one God. And all of a sudden, he just went. And Brother Larson, his eyes got big. His head, he began to stretch it out. And he began to listen. He started elbowing his wife. And he started looking. He got a Bible from somebody in front of him and started showing it to her. Before the service was over, he was in the altar. Getting the Holy Ghost, he came drunk. But when the Spirit of God began to move, it tried him out. I come to tell you, young people, we don't have to change anything to have a revival. The Spirit of God can move on a wet alcoholic's life and dry him out. My message is this, that it is an atmosphere that God is interested in. He created the dry ground, then He made trees, fruit. Then He made beasts of the field. He made a sea, then He made great fish in the sea. He made a firmament, then He put a fowl in the air. In the air. And I want you to notice something. After every day, the Bible says, He said, and it was good on every day except the second. He didn't say of the firmament that it was good. Because I believe between verse 1 and verse 2 of Genesis 1 is where Lucifer rebelled and God threw him out. Because if you read it, God creates the heaven and the earth, and the next verse says, and the earth was without form. And boy, the word form and void in the Hebrew means that it was a waste place, a desert. It was desolation. God doesn't make anything in desolation. But it was when God cast Lucifer out that Lucifer was cast into this atmosphere. For Ephesians 2 says, of the devil. Paul the Apostle, the writer of 2/3 of the New Testament, says that the prince, the devil, is the prince and the power of the air. God cast him into the firmament. And the repercussions and the fallout of his fall threw everything God had made into chaos. But God gives us the atmosphere of a deliverance when he says, in the same verse that things are without form and void, there's a comma, and the Bible says, and the Spirit of God moved. God is so big and bad, he doesn't even let the writer make one more verse out of it. He says the devil came into it and made it a dead waste place. But before you put verse number 3, I want to tell you how I fixed it. I just moved on the face of the deep and went on with my creation. I'm going to tell somebody tonight, I don't care how you come in here. I don't care how desolate you are. I don't care how much a waste you feel your life is. If you can get into the firmament, if you can get into God's atmosphere, if you can begin to praise God, God will move. It was not good because God knew that that would be the place that Lucifer would fall. And so now God loses the atmosphere in the heaven. There is no worship in heaven. There is nobody there to magnify God. There is nothing there for God to inhabit. And so now God creates man. And he says to Adam, you are to love me. You are to multiply and replenish. You're to meet me in the cool of the day. You're to adore me and worship me. And then the Bible gives us a reason. For God inhabits the praises of his people. Now I'm going to say something. I'm just about sick of Pentecost getting to the point where they make preaching on worship and praise a little evangelistic message and a little evangelist candy stick. I want to tell you something. God desires that people would praise him. David said, oh, that man would magnify the Lord with me. It is a trick of the devil to get us to think that whether we worship or not doesn't matter. I said it is a trick of the devil. I'm not just preaching about bucking and kicking and shouting and running, but I am preaching about dead church, and I am preaching about quiet church. That isn't an apostolic atmosphere. I'm sorry. That isn't a place where there can be a deliverance. You say, well, if I get up and preach about it like that, and if I get to run in, well, sister so-and-so will take her tithing and leave. Leave! Don't need your money anyhow. You say, why are you saying this to young people? I'm saying it because young people grow up to be parents who become, not all of them, but some of them become carnal and hard. And they make a little money and think they can run and rule the church. I come to tell you that's a lie. That is a perverted atmosphere. We need apostolics that aren't afraid to create an atmosphere conducive for a deliverance. You can be seated. Now, it's very hard to praise the Lord. We've heard a lot about it. Brother Johnson preached a message. If you were sleeping in and missed it, you need to go by and buy the tape. He preached about, can you worship with a knife in your hand? Brother Nathan Morton preached the other day about Abraham offering up Isaac. I think somebody else has mentioned about it. God's talking to us. Real worship is not how fast you run or how high you jump. David said, I will not offer unto the Lord that which costs me nothing. I'm sorry, but that don't cost you nothing. I'm not going to make you mad. I'm going to tell some of you the reason you can't really praise Him. I'm going to tell some of you young men, and somebody told me, and it may be just a rumor, but if it's a rumor, I'm fixing to kill it right here. But somebody told me that it got some young man running around with toenails painted. What in the name of peanut butter are we doing? And you want me to be lip-wristed and soft about what I'm preaching, and we got somebody running around with painted toenails? I preached about it last night and I think it stirred it up. But I'm sorry. I'm not going to quiet down. I'm not going to stop. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that perverted spirit. What in the world's going on? I'll tell you what's wrong. We're trying to quiet down and calm down. And while we're quieting down, the devil is moving in. But I said, come on, California. Let's turn up the volume on praise. Let's create another atmosphere that'll run out the sin. I've seen some of you. Seen some of you boys leaning up talking to one another. I almost walked up, pulled your nose off your face. Seen you stand around talking to some boy today. Pardon me, this is taking all the Holy Ghost. I got to do this. I ain't talking about a young girl. I'm talking about boys in this camp. Run around leaning up here. Your wrist all kicked out. Your pinky up. Your legs crossing. You smiling and making eyes at that boy. Come on, brother. What in the world is wrong with us? Come on. It's time we get the atmosphere right. It's time we worship and magnify Him. Get the sin out of your life. Do I have any parents who want me to keep preaching like I'm preaching right now? I'm sorry, but I got a young boy and a young girl growing up. I refuse to be quiet. I refuse. If you don't want to praise Him, I'm sorry. But you show me a church that loses its prayer and its worship, I'll show you a church that gets full of sin and full of perversion. It's time we get back to praying and worshiping and creating an atmosphere. Seen some of you. I'm sorry. I may not get asked back. I hope I do. But I'm sorry. I don't know whose this is. I'm going to tell you something. See, some of you, that just drives me absolutely up a tree. I don't know if I'm feeling Holy Ghost or I'm angry, but it feels good. So I'm going to slow down, make sure it's the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost. Some boy walking into church today. I know it ain't but one or two, but my God, why should we start putting up with one or two? Young man, you need to understand the only way to get out of that is you need to go to Mount Moriah and you need to lay down on that altar and you need to be willing to die. Cut all that twitching out. Get that pinky back in your hand. Get them flashy eyes off. Clean up your life. Look at somebody next to you and say, cut that out. Am I still all right? If we keep it up, we're going to create an atmosphere. You know what David said? He said, praise God in the sanctuary. Praise God in the firmament of His power. His power is not homosexual and lesbian. His power is not unholy. He is a holy, holy, holy spirit. He is a thrice holy God. He is a holy God. It is the Holy Ghost. I wonder what would happen in California right now if every young man and young lady in here would begin to throw your hands up in the air and say, that's it. I'm not going to be quiet any longer. I'm not going to calm down any longer. I'm tired of this sin. I'm tired of fornication. I'm tired of ungodliness. I'm tired of perversion. can't worship Him with sin in your life. You can't really magnify Him with your atmosphere all out of whack. But if you will repent, if you will turn around and turn away from the world and then begin to magnify Him, God said He hears not sinners. But if any man will be a worshiper, him God heareth. If you're here and you got your toenails, your fingernails, or anything else painted, I don't want to offend you, but I want to try to get you out of that atmosphere. You're caught up in the world. You're caught up in sin. And I'm trying to get an atmosphere for you to get a deliverance. I'm trying to get an atmosphere for you to come out of that sin and come out of the world and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. We can change the atmosphere. You can get out of a jail. You can knock down walls. The only hope is that young men and young ladies, God has ordained that we as His people would magnify Him through costly worship. And we would say, God, we want to come as near to You as we can. We want to magnify You as high as we can. I've come to tell you folks, if we will magnify Him in this camp, we'll get the breakthrough we've been looking for. We're not just looking for a nice little conducive camp. We're trying to get a young lady out of sin. We're trying to get a young lady out of perversion. We're trying to get young men off of pornography. We're trying to get young men out of homosexuality. We need to worship God so that God will inhabit our praise and God will come in and give us a deliverance. Come on, young people. You don't need an organ. You don't need a piano. We just need some young people that say we're sick of this Hollywood atmosphere. We want to change it with holy worship and holy prayer and holy soul winning and holy revival. Come on, young person. You can change your atmosphere. You can create an atmosphere for you to get your own deliverance in. You can magnify the Lord until God comes upon you and He delivers you. Right now, lift your hands. Begin to call on Him. Let there be the sound of waves. Yamayara mosokoto yamahaya. Come on, parents. Come on, camp helpers. Come on. There's some young people that need a break. Oh, there's a lot of them doing good. But I'm worried about some of them. They haven't moved yet. They haven't cried yet. We're halfway through the week. And they haven't even got close to a deliverance yet. We've got to change the atmosphere. We've got to get over this carnality. We've got to get focused. Come on, young men. Now's not the hour to watch. I'm pleading with you in the name of Jesus. Reach over, lay hands on somebody. You become your own altar workers and begin to pray until you feel a deliverance. Come on, young lady, you've struggled with it long enough. Hallelujah. It's up to you now. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise God in the firmament of His power. Praise Him. Praise Him. Come on, young lady. It don't matter what your hair looks like when we're done tonight. You got to get a deliverance. It don't matter if you're sweating or not. You got to get a deliverance. It doesn't matter if you're unwrinkled or not. You got to get a deliverance tonight. Come on, young ladies. Put your hands up in the air and magnify Him. Kulamaya la Mashiach. It's tongue talking time in Santa Maria. It's tongue talking time. It's time for young people to get down and get serious. Right now, tonight, before we go another service, it's time for a deliverance. It's time for a deliverance. Move, Holy Ghost. Move, Holy Ghost. Move, Holy Ghost. Come on, push. Come on, young people, push in. Come on, young people, push in. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's it, young man. Come on. Come on, preacher's son. Come on, evangelist son. Come on, music man. Come on, young lady. Come on, singer. Come on, sound man. Come on, visitor friend. Come on, magnify. Come on, young lady, magnify. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, magnify. Come on, magnify. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt Him. The devil didn't want to exalt Him anymore. But in California, we're going to exalt the Lord. In California, we're going to magnify the Lord. We're going to pray. We're going to worship. We're going to live holy. Come on, praise Him. Come on, it's about to break in on us right now.
Come on,
lift your hands.
The Lord, the highest praise, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Come on, let's give the Lord
the highest praise, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on and give the Lord the highest praise, hallelujah.
Come on, somebody ought to praise Him. Somebody ought to magnify Him.
Holy day. Oh, now when I think of His goodness,
what He's done for me,
when I think of His goodness,
how He set me free,
I could dance.
Come on, praise Him.
Dance all night.
Come on, magnify.
All night.
I don't want to come, leave like I came tonight.
When I think of His goodness, when I think of His goodness, how He set.
Come on, young lady. Magnify. Magnify.
All night.
Yalaba Shata Yamahaya. He have a Yalaba Sunday Yalabahoya. All night, all night,
all night. When I think of His goodness and what He's done for me,
when I think of His goodness,
how He set me free, I'll dance, 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 dance all night.
Young lady, it's up to you. You got to create your own atmosphere for God to come into. Your deliverance is in your court. You got to walk out. You got to walk a shame.
When I think of His goodness and all He's done for me, when I think of His goodness, how He set me free.